Make sure you hold fast to the truth of the gospel. Make sure the truth of the gospel keeps winning their minds and the love of Jesus keeps winning their hearts.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and in our series through Ephesians, we've seen how the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is shaking things up in the city of Ephesus. New believers who've come to saving faith, they're burning their magic books, they're putting away their silver idols, and they're taking a stand for Jesus. So, Pastor Miller, you describe this in your sermon as a splendid beginning. But what do they have to do in order to now hold on, to hold fast to this truth?
Yeah, well, there are threats coming. Paul, as he leaves Ephesus, he's going to tell the elders, there's ravenous wolves, there's threats from the outside that are coming in, there's danger of doctrinal error from within, false teachers. So they need to hold fast to the gospel. It's not just enough to begin, they've got to continue. And, you know, people who study counterfeit currencies, you know, to detect it, they always study the original so that they'll be able to recognize the counterfeits when they see them. And I think that's the same principle for the gospel. We need to study the beauty, the purity, the goodness of the gospel so that we'll understand the counterfeits when they arise.
Amen. Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church to study the original so that we can identify the counterfeits.
Now let's talk about a sobering warning, a sobering warning. After almost 3 years of ministry, Paul decides it's time to keep going on with his missionary journey. He has other cities to visit, other places to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And so he leaves behind his protege, a young man by the name of Timothy, to be the pastor of the church in Ephesus as he continues on his way. Eventually, he decides, as he completes his trip, after several months, he decides, I've got to go back to Jerusalem. And so he's headed for home. But before he goes home, he calls the Ephesian elders together for one last brief meeting. And it is he gives them a warning. This is Acts chapter 20, and we'll pick it up down in verse 28. Acts 20, 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul says, look, you're going to come under attack when I leave. There's going to be a power vacuum, and stuff is going to come at you. Fierce wolves from without, twisted teachers from within. Therefore, be alert. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock. What help will you give this church, Paul, as you leave? What protection, what safeguard do you offer this body of Christ? What does Paul say? Now I commend you to God. You're in his hands. And to the word of his grace, you have his word. Well, what good is that? What good is that? There's wolves coming. There's twisted teaching arising. What good is the word of God? How can it help? Oh, Paul says, it is able to build you up, make you strong, to give you the inheritance among all of those who are sanctified, the ones who are being made holy. Paul says, look, if you want to be built up, If you want to be mature and strong, resilient, if you want to be sanctified, if you want to be holy and righteous like Jesus, if you want to inherit all the promises of God, all that He is going to give you, if you want all of that, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. It may not feel like much, but it is, in fact, everything you need. Farewell. And he heads out. Now, you remember that Timothy was the one that Paul had left behind to be the pastor in Ephesus. And so we can actually gain some more insights on what's going on in the church from Paul's letters that he wrote to his protege, Timothy. So flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is what Paul writes in verse 3. As I urged you, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion. So Paul's warning earlier that he left with the Ephesian elders turns out to have been well-founded. There are certain persons known to Paul and Timothy who are running around teaching false doctrine. They're leading people astray. They're confusing people with speculation and myths and vain discussions. And this false teaching, Paul says, is leading people away from love, a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. If you flip over to chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, first two verses. Now, this is what Paul writes. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. So this false teaching that Timothy is there to withstand is not just something, ideas that somebody made up. They are lies from the pit of hell that are intended to destroy God's people. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Again, Paul writes, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy and dissension and slander and evil suspicions and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. And do you see the connection, friends, that corrupt teaching results in corrupt living? Do you see the connection? Corrupt teaching results in corrupt living, not just for individuals, but for the church family. That this false doctrine in their midst is like a cancer that's eating away at the body of Christ, which is why he concludes 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21 with these words. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. So guard the deposit, Timothy, the one that's been entrusted to you, like a deposit at a bank. It's valuable. Guard it. Protect it. Make sure you don't lose it, Timothy. The deposit of the gospel. It's a treasure. It's why I left you there, Timothy. Make sure you hold fast to the truth. The truth of the gospel. Make sure the truth of the gospel keeps winning their minds and the love of Jesus keeps winning their hearts. Grace be with you, young Timothy. Now, interestingly enough, we get another glimpse of what's going on in Ephesus 3 decades later, when the risen Christ appears to the Apostle John as he's serving a prison sentence for following Jesus on the island of Patmos. And Jesus comes and dictates a series of 7 letters to be distributed along a trade route through Asia Minor. And the very first one of those letters is written to Ephesus. This is our Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 down through 7. This is what Jesus says. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. So good job, Ephesian church. You've stayed doctrinally solid. Well done. Verse 3, I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So they've been persevering under pressure, under persecution and hostility. It's been a hard go for them, but they've stayed faithful. Good job, church in Ephesus. Verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand. It's the imagery of the church, a shining light. I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, we don't know a whole lot about this group, but we do know from various places in the New Testament that this was a group that was trying to culturally accommodate the teachings of Jesus to the culture of the day. So they thought, you know, the main thing is Jesus. These moral standards that come along with this, not all that important. We can kind of let that slide, you know, sort of update the teachings of Jesus to fit with the cultural moment. And Jesus says, you hate that, I hate that too. So good job, guys, for resisting that. Verse 7, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Imagery of eternal life in heaven. So 3 decades later, Jesus himself commends the Ephesian church for holding on to the truth in the face of false teaching, for avoiding moral compromise in the face of cultural pressure, and for enduring patiently as they suffer for the sake of Jesus. But somewhere along the line, they abandoned their first love. Did you know it is possible to have all the right doctrines, all the right beliefs, all the right moral convictions, and yet lose your authentic heart of love for Jesus Christ? That's entirely possible. And their affections have wandered. Their devotion has shriveled. Their love has faded. So bringing this all back now to the time when Paul's writing this letter to Ephesus some 3 decades earlier, we can say this. The Ephesian church was in danger of losing the truth of the gospel and the love of their lives. The Ephesian church was in danger of losing the truth of the gospel and the love of their lives. False teachers are coming. Cultural compromise is tempting. Hostility is rising. Fierce wolves from without. Twisted teachers from within. This is a risky moment for Ephesus. It's time to batten down the hatches, right? It's time to call in reinforcements. It's time to get a secret weapon, right? So what does Paul do? He writes him a letter. He writes him a letter. That's it. He writes him a letter. And that letter will turn out to be their sustaining grace friends. This letter will be their sustaining grace.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you've joined us. Amid all the threats we face today, we need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to protect us. Pastor Philip, in your sermon, you talk about ravenous wolves. Well, how do we stay away from ravenous wolves?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the first thing we have to do is really immerse ourselves in the scriptures. We've got to know our Bibles. We've got to, that's the plumb line. That's the anchor for our souls. That's the straight edge against which we measure everything else. Remember that it's the currency, right? You look at the genuine article to be able to identify the counterfeits. And that's what the gospel is. It's the genuine truth. We've got to know it so well that we can recognize that false teaching when it comes. And I think that the second thing that can really help us with that, not just knowing the scriptures on our own, but also surrounding ourselves with really good, trusted voices that teach the Bible well, you know, that don't cherry pick verses out of context just to sort of prove a point or just try to appeal to the felt needs of people all the time. You know, there are teachers out there who just want to tell people what they want to hear. And people, it's easy to sell books that way. It's easy to build an audience, but it's not faithful to the Word of God unless we're willing to provide the whole counsel of God's Word, even tell people hard things they don't want to hear, but they're true. And so we need those kinds of resources in our lives. And honestly, that's what we want to be here at Living Hope and the Moody Church. We are trying to be a trusted voice with clear biblical teaching that can anchor us in the storm.
You keep coming back to this theme about it's important that people read their Bible, that they need to know the Bible for themselves and that they read it. But how do you begin? I mean, it's a big book. And how'd you get started? In your study of God's Word?
Well, I think sometimes we try to bite off more than we can chew, right? You know, it's sort of the gold standard is read the Bible in a year. And I think a lot of people, that feels a little insurmountable, so they don't do anything. I always recommend people start with the Gospels. There's nothing better than to just see Jesus in action. He's the hero of the Bible. And so pick one of the Gospels, read there. I personally love the Psalms. The Psalms are, you know, they're the songs of Israel, the songs of Jesus. And it's a great way to just calibrate. They're very soulful things. And so for me, I always find reading the scriptures in the morning to be a really good thing. I want to wake up and get my mind calibrated to reality before I pick up my phone, before I pick up the newspaper, before I get stressed out about my work and my email, to actually spend time with God, to rest in truth. That's a great way to begin. And I also feel like the way I end my day matters too. And so getting in the Psalms, reminding myself of truth right before I go to bed, that's a great way to calm down, cycle down, go to sleep, and have truth on your brain as you rest, you know, because your brain doesn't go to sleep in the same way. It's doing stuff. And so to have that truth locked in, that's powerful.
Yeah, that's really practical too. You're right. Your brain hasn't go to rest. That's why you should turn the TV off and the radio off, except if you're listening to Living Hope, and let your brain actually do some resting. There are lots of free biblical resources out there. If our listeners go to moodymedia.org, we certainly can provide some resources about how they can dig deeper. This is a serious topic, though, about the corruption, and it'd be easy for us to just look at this and say, that was for Ephesus, that was for their time. But the threats that they face, those threats are with us today, and they're just as powerful as they were for the people back in that city. And you would agree with that, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, we're facing the same kinds of things, right? So Ephesus they were going to experience pressure from the outside to compromise, you know, to get with the program. The Romans were not happy with the Christians because they wouldn't bow down and worship their idols. They wouldn't worship the empire. and the emperor. And so there's always pressure from the world, from the outside, on the church to capitulate, to get with the program, to stop being so, you know, behind the times and holding on to old things like traditional marriage and biblical faithful sexuality. There's all these pressures to capitulate and compromise. There's always false teaching out there. We have it today. There's all kinds of ways that people twist scripture to affirm their own agenda, to take Jesus and use him as a poster child for whatever thing they're trying to advance in the world. And so it's really important for us, just like Ephesus, to stay grounded in the Word of God, to not compromise, to be rooted and established. You know, to use Paul's language, speaking the truth in love with one another will be built up and mature so that we will not be tossed to and fro by all the winds and waves of the doctrinal drift that's going on around us. We can stay firm and anchored. And that's the call in those days and in our days as well.
Wow, Pastor Philip. So the threats that you're talking about, they're not only outside the church, but they're within the church as well. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, they are. And this is one of the sad realities that we still face today. I mean, there's abuse in church leadership. There's moral failures in church leadership. There's all kinds of ways that we can fall short of what we're called to be and do as believers. And the answer, again, lies in the beauty of the gospel, that the gospel is meant to tether us to Christ, to abide with him, to draw strength from his life and character, to become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And when we neglect the word, when we neglect the presence of Christ and abiding with him and walking with the Spirit, that love relationship that we have through the gospel with Jesus Christ, that's a death trap. And so the gospel not only protects us from errors on the outside, it also protects us from that kind of internal collapse that can happen within church and within the body of Christ as well. The scriptures really are a preserving influence in our lives that show us what's right and true and draw us back to Jesus Christ.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Larry McCarthy, and I'm sure many of our listeners can relate to that. We hear this frequently where people are hurt within the church or hurt at their church. And you've provided some very sound counsel regarding stay grounded in Scripture and know Scripture for yourself. So if I heard you right, all we have to do is read our Bible morning, noon, and night. And everything is covered then. We're good, right?
Well, that's true, but the truth of the gospel and the scriptures comes to life in the body of Christ. And this is where, you know, Paul says, speaking the truth in love to one another, the church will be built up. We will be built up. We need one another. And that's the context in which the gospel is really animated in our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
So next time on Living Hope with Pastor Miller, we'll hear more about how God uses his word within the church to help believers like you and like me. That's exactly why we're offering Dr. George Sweeting's excellent book, How to Begin the Christian Life. With more than 600,000 copies in print, How to Begin the Christian Life has already helped countless people on their spiritual journey. And you know that's why we exist here at Living Hope? We're all about helping people on their spiritual journey. Dr. Sweeting has a captivating writing style, and his memorable stories and biblical insights have guided people from the first steps of their faith to a lifetime of following Jesus. Now it can be yours, or it can help you or someone else. Are you a new Christian but not quite sure what to do, or maybe you're a longtime believer looking for a fresh perspective on the essentials of your Christian walk? This book is perfect for you. And this month, we're offering How to Begin the Christian Life for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com or call 1-800-215-5001. 215-5001. Thanks for joining us for our series through the book of Ephesians on Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.